Hey, friends. Welcome to the St. Mark City podcast. We pray that you are blessed and challenged as you listen to this message. God bless you.
Good morning, everybody. Good morning. We are in our last sermon of our series today. So if you've been coming for the last while, you'll know we've been working through a series, Ascending In. And we've been looking at all the essential parts of a healthy walk with God, a healthy Christian life, how we can rise higher in the things of God and in his kingdom. So just to remind you, we've heard about ascending in holiness, ascending in faith, in generosity, in worship, in good character, in hope, in compassion, and in forgiveness. And I think it's fitting that ascending in love is the last one to finish out the series, because obviously love is the big important commission, isn't it? Like, when you think of what Christian teaching says about love, what do you immediately think of? If you're like me, you probably think of Matthew 22. I'll read that out, 36 to 40, where Jesus is asked, "Teacher, which is the greatest commandment in the law?" Jesus replied, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. And the second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. All the law and the prophets hang on these two commandments." So Jesus was very clear about what the most important part of our faith was, wasn't he? Love. And our obedience in other areas and in other instruction will pour forth from that, our love for God. So first of all, if we just think about what is love, well, we know love is a feeling, but yes, it's something we feel and then we act on it. So love is evident in the things we do, in the way we talk, in our actions and behaviors, and in the way that we treat others. And I don't know if anybody's old enough to remember the band DC Talk. I know two guys in the front row definitely join me in remembering this. Some of you are too young. So it was the band DC Talk. They were very big, a Christian band in the 90s. And they had an album, Jesus Freak. I think that might have won a couple of Grammys as well, actually. And it was great when you were a youth, a teenager, that you've got something that's great music, that's modern, and it's also spitting gospel truths. So they had a song anyway, Love is a Verb. And that had a big impact on me when I was a teenager. That it was the first time I'd really thought about it, that love isn't just a feeling, but it's a doing word. It's an action, a verb. So here's just one of the verses. Back in the day, there was a man who stepped out of heaven and he walked the land. He delivered to the people an eternal choice with a heart full of love and the truth in his voice. Gave up his life so that we may live. How much more love could the Son of God give? Here is the example that we ought to be matching, because love is a word that requires some action. I think that could nearly sum up the entire message, just those last two lines. Here's the example that we ought to be matching, because love is a word that requires some action. So Jesus has set up the framework. He's laid down the example of love in action, and we're supposed to follow on from that. So if we're to ascend in love, what we're talking about today is, I want to know, how can we do that? And what would that look like as we try to, do better, do more and aim higher in our goals? So I'm going to break this message up into three short sections. Always glad when you hear that short word, aren't you? Yeah? Three short sections. So we already know there's going to be love God and there's going to be love your neighbor, because we touched on that. The unexpected third part is love yourself. Well, that's not something we normally discuss here, but I think it's relevant. Self-love. And straight away, you're kind of going, that's a bit self-indulgent, isn't it? Talking about stuff like that. We're not really comfortable with it. But I think that many of us, myself included, are guilty of poor self-love. And we often hear like psychologists and counselors and therapists talking about, beware of your internal voice. Be careful how you talk to yourself. Don't, speak mean to yourself, cruel and talking down to yourself. And we are guilty of it. And they remind us, would you speak that way to your friends or family members or your colleagues? And no, we wouldn't. So for example, if we make a mistake, we do something wrong, we're so annoyed with ourselves. And we ask ourselves then, if a family member or a friend or a colleague made that same mistake, would we speak to them in the same kind of voice that we speak to ourselves? And we wouldn't. For us, we pounce on ourselves. You absolute idiot. You're so stupid. Why can't you ever get this right? You're such an idiot. When you think of the voice we have inside for ourselves, But we would never do that to somebody at work or a family member if they've made that mistake. We'd be saying, don't worry, you know, don't beat yourself up. You know, you won't make that mistake again. And we'd be kind and compassionate and caring and gentle with them over the mistake that they made. And that's the voice that we're supposed to have for ourselves as well. And we don't do that enough. And I think that the blight of poor self-love is really evident in our society, and particularly among young folk who, you know, we see a lot of poor self-image and poor self-esteem, lack of confidence and anxiety, and, you know, these feelings of not being quite right or not being what they should be and not fitting in, being a bit different other than. And I think that self-love needs to grow. And you can be thinking to yourself, this is kind of pop psychology, Sarah. Okay, right. Well, what's that got to do with scripture? And I'll tell you how it's related to scripture, because we are made by God in his image. And the love that God has for us is enormous. So think about it this way. Even if it's just out of respect for the Almighty and nothing else, and the way he sees us and thinks of us, then we should honor that by loving ourselves. The scripture says, love your neighbor as you love yourself. But if you don't love yourself very much, that's a raw deal for your neighbor, isn't it? Oh yeah, I can love my neighbor as I love myself, no problem. Want to hear how I speak to myself? I could give my neighbor a bit of that next time they don't stop their dog barking. You know, like if we can't be loving ourselves in the way God loves us, seeing ourselves through that lens that God sees us, how can we pour forth from that and love on our neighbor? So that doesn't mean, you know, vacuous self-absorbed arrogance and, you know, posing and posting selfies and your fave could never and all of this affected confidence that we see thrown out in social media posts. It's not about being self-centered or self-obsessed. It's just having a compassionate care and love for ourselves and not having a deeply negative internal voice, because I don't believe that that is of God. And I don't believe it's from God. Yeah. So this is about having a kind attitude towards ourselves, which is the heart of God for us. And if we love ourselves that way, in the way that God loves us, and we have, you know, gratitude for our lives, for our health, for our bodies, and we're grateful to God, and we don't speak ill to and of ourselves, and, you know, we have a kindness and an empathy and an understanding when we make mistakes and we do something wrong or we don't do something we should have. When we have that for ourselves, I think that's the aim. So if we love ourselves that way, then we can love our neighbor as we love ourselves. And that has a basis in already having love for ourselves. And maybe that this is the element that some of us need to work on. You know, some of us might be here saying, you know, yeah, I love God so much and I love my neighbor. I'm good to my neighbor. I show love to people who haven't even done something to deserve it. And I don't find that difficult, but maybe you really struggle with loving, respecting, and appreciating yourself as God made you, because you are lovable. That's evidenced in the fact that God loves you. If you're loved, then you're lovable. You might not think that about yourself, but I want to read some scriptures. We were made in God's image. Genesis 1, 26 and 27 tells us that. We are fearfully and wonderfully made. Psalm 139, 14. He pre-planned us and he preordained us. This is in Ephesians 1, 4 to 5. It says, for he chose us in him before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in his sight. In love, he predestined us for adoption to sonship through Jesus Christ in accordance with his pleasure and will. Think about that for a second. Before the earth even hung in the solar system, he pre-planned you. He knew you'd exist. He'd already designed you as you are before the earth even hung in the solar system. Now let that blow your mind, in the words of Eve, the rapper, not Eve of the Bible. We were knit together in our mother's womb. Psalm 139, 13 to 14. For you created my inmost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful. I know that full well. Do you ever see some part of nature where you see a waterfall and all the forest around it, and you think, wow, God, your creation is amazing. The things you've made are wonderful. We do, don't we? Or there's a sunrise off a mountaintop, and we go, oh, God, your creation is wonderful. Look what you made. Look at yourself. God made you, and what he makes is wonderful, which makes you wonderful. And if you don't think that about yourself, start telling yourself, I am wonderful. And let yourself feel it, because the word says that. I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful. Do we even know how special we are to God? How huge the love that he has for us is. A desperate love for us. Romans 5:8 says, but God demonstrates his own love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Before we ever had a thought that I shouldn't be living like this, or I'm going to turn my back on that life, I'm going to repent. Before we even had a shred of repentance in us, he'd already gone, it's okay, I forgive you. I'm going to give my son for you. You're forgiven. Before we even thought we had anything to be repenting for. So if we have that basis of a respectful love for ourselves, from there we can go forth and love our neighbor as we love ourselves. And if we thought it was hard to love ourselves, boy, we're about to find out how difficult it can be to love our neighbor. So our next point is ascending in love for our neighbor. Some people, it's fair to say, are easy to love, isn't it? Is my sister Kate Nuana here this morning? Is she here? I find her very easy to love. She knows that. If you don't have Kate in your life, you're missing out on something. I find it easy to love Kate. You know, sometimes you meet someone and you're like, soul sister. Energy is just connecting. Some people aren't that easy to love. And I say that knowing I'm not easy to love for some people. You know that phrase, you might not be everyone's cup of tea, but you're somebody's shot of whiskey. I've got no doubt I am some people's shot of whiskey, but I'm definitely not everyone's cup of tea. And I'm okay with that. So if you find it hard to love me, I get it. I totally get it. But unfortunately, you're called to love me as I am called to love you. So, you know, we are called to love our neighbor, however hard it might be. I'm going to keep this point brief, not because it's not important, but because I believe Pastor Sean did an amazing job on this a couple of weeks ago when he did Ascending in Compassion. He really covered this element. If you didn't hear that message, do go back and listen on the YouTube channel to that. So Pastor Sean spoke about the parable of the Good Samaritan and reminded us, who is my neighbor? Everyone. Even those you're not likely to like. And we look at how Jesus gave us a practical example of what it's like to love your neighbor, to ascend in love for your neighbor during that parable. And it was love in action. We were reminded that it cost the Samaritan, and it said, whatever it costs, I will pay it. So Pastor Sean reminded us that day that we are called to love our enemies even, and he reminded us that he's given us his spirit so that we can override our flesh and do that when it's really hard. And like, I could stop and think back and ask myself, have I ever done that? Have I ever loved on someone that's been awful to me? Yes, I could give you an example of that. But if I'm being really honest, I was thinking about heaping biblical coals on their head. And if you don't know that reference, I'll read the scripture to you. There's a passage in Romans called Love in Action. That's literally the message, isn't it? Love in Action. It's titled that in your Bible. Romans 12, 9 to 21. It says, love must be sincere. Hate what is evil. Cling to what is good. Be devoted to one another in love. Honor one another above yourselves. Never be lacking in zeal, but keep your spiritual fervor serving the Lord. Be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, faithful in prayer. Share with the Lord's people who are in need. Practice hospitality. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Mourn with those who mourn. Live in harmony with one another. Do not be proud, but be willing to associate with people of low position. Do not be conceited. Do not repay anyone evil for evil. Be careful to do what is right in the eyes of everyone. If it is possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. Do not take revenge, my dear friends, but leave room for God's wrath, for it is written, "It is mine to avenge. I will repay," says the Lord. On the contrary, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he's thirsty, give him something to drink. In doing this, you will heap burning coals on his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. So I think that I've got some work to do myself to ascend in love for my neighbor, because it is hard to love some people, and especially when they've been awful to you. An example of this, and I'm just literally using this story as the example for growing in love for our neighbor. This story broke me. It had me sobbing reading it. And it's a story of a man called Pastor Mick in Burnley in England. And when I opened up the BBC news page that day back in December 2020 and I read this article, I had no idea that I was going to read an interview that would challenge the very depth of my soul and my faith. So what I'm going to do is just summarize this story, the part that I think is relevant. It's a huge news piece, and I would definitely recommend you read it. So the media team have kindly created a QR code, which is on the info desk. So on your way out, if you just snap that QR code and later on this evening, read the story about Pastor Mick, because it's phenomenal. To me, it's a faith shaker. So to summarize this, Mick was once a dangerous, violent drug user and dealer. He was well known as an underworld fixer. You can imagine what that involved in the northwest of England. So one day he's waiting outside a gym with a gun to kill another drug dealer. And he had this Saul on the road to Damascus moment, which incredible. You just have to read that. And subsequently he got saved. And here's an interesting part. So Mick's life derailed from the age of 11. And that's when he started drugs, drinking, getting into trouble. Why? Because he was trying to numb his pain, and it was a form of escape. Because he'd been attacked by a stranger in a park on his way to school at 11 and raped. And this was the starting point for him of his descent into chaos, drink, drugs, violence. Come back to the present, Mick's working at a charity called Church on the Street Ministries. And he helps the homeless, drug users, the hungry, the poor. And the main point of this BBC article was actually the work that he does with the socially deprived, loving his neighbours. And the journalist wanted to know what motivates him to keep going. And Mick says, this is a quote, "What I do today, it's not a penance, it's the complete opposite. It's a privilege to serve these people. It's a glorious thing." And then the journalist is staggered by what Mick tells him next. I'm going to read this as a little excerpt from the article. 10 years ago, he befriended a homeless alcoholic outside a takeaway. Mick listened to him, cared for him, helped him to get sober and reunite with his family. The man died 2 years later, but his family was thankful they'd all been together. This is Mick speaking now. "What I never told him or his family or the police was that he was the man who raped me as a child. Why? I knew that I'd been forgiven for my past. I didn't do what he had done, but still terrible things. But I felt forgiven, and I didn't want to live in his sin. This is why I'm free. I'm not spending my life in torment. It's redemption." God, give us hearts like that. I read that and I thought, you know what? I've got a way to go in love of my neighbor, because I couldn't tell you what I would have done in his position. I shouldn't tell you what I would have done in his position. And that challenges my faith. I have to ascend in love for my neighbor. It's fair to say that Pastor Mick really grasped how to ascend in love for his neighbor, because who's our neighbor? Everyone. What an example of what Jesus can do in our hearts if we let him. God, give us hearts like that. The last point here is ascending in love for God. This is the greatest commandment of all, is what the Bible tells us. That's love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, and all your might. That's Deuteronomy 6:5. Excuse me. And it's echoed through scripture. So if we are ascending in love for God, what would that look like for us? We've said love is a verb, love is an action. So if that's the case, we're going to behave in a certain way. If we love God with all our heart, soul, and might, we'll behave in a certain way. Think about when you're in love. When you're in love with somebody, you want to spend time with them. And if you're with someone, imagine yourself in a relationship with someone where they don't seem to want to spend time with you. They're not really interested. Avoiding spending time, avoiding checking in with you or talking to you or hanging out with you, you start to think, oh, I don't think that person loves me. And it's evident in their actions and behavior that they don't love you. So when we love God and we say it'll be evident in our actions and behavior, then we want to spend time in his presence. Spending time in his presence in worship, in prayer, in reading his word. James 4:8 says, draw near to God and he will draw near to you. I think having the Almighty draw near to me sounds like a great thing. So all we've got to do is we draw near to him and he'll draw near to us. So if you think about this, if somebody that loved you wrote you a poem or a card or a love letter and they gave it to you and they said, I've written this for you, and you just kind of briefly look at it and go, yeah, great, whatever, I'll read that at some point. That shows them that you don't love them. You don't care about what they've written. And their words aren't really that important to you. You know, you're not interested to pick it up or eager to read it or devour those words. When we're in love with someone, we are eager to devour the words that they've written to us and read that card or poem or love letter straight away. And that's the word of God for us. That's the Bible. So God's love for us is evident in the word. And then we should want to read it and get stuck into it and read what it has to say. Emma gave us a great reminder a couple of weeks ago in the message, Ascending in Good Character, about how we also grow in good character when we get stuck into the word of God. So this is just another reminder. That's how we'll behave when we grow in love for God. And then we also get developed in good character while we're in there. And I think a great inspiration for us in how to ascend in love for God is David. In the Bible, God described David as a man after his own heart. David was beloved by God, and he really, really loved God himself. He would say things like, I will meditate on your precepts. Like, I'll read, absorb, and study the word day and night. He was constantly in the word. He was constantly talking to God, pleading to the Lord, singing, praising, worshiping. There was always this picture of open lines of communication between God and David in the Psalms. He was always looking to be in the presence of God and always looking to be in the word, in the scriptures, day and night, night and day. Now, was he perfect? Was he a character of great morality? No, absolutely not. But did he love God? Yes, he did. And how that showed in his life and how he showed us that he really loved God, I think that we can learn from that. So I'm going to read a piece of Psalm 119. Anybody that knows Psalm 119 goes, oh my days, not the whole thing, surely. It's massive. So feel free to read that at home on your own. I'm going to take some chunks out of Psalm 119 just to read to you because I think, and I'm going to read it from the message. I don't usually study from the message or read that as my regular reading for the Bible, but sometimes it's given you with all the modern language, it's just this flow over to show you exactly what David was feeling. And I love the way that that comes across because it gives us such an inspiration. So a worship team might just come back up and join me actually, because this is going to be, I'll read these excerpts from Psalm 119, and then that's my final little closing remarks. So here we go, from 1 to 16. You're blessed when you stay on course, walking steadily on the road revealed by God. You're blessed when you follow his directions, doing your best to find him. That's right. You don't go off on your own. You walk straight along the road he set. You, God, prescribe the right way to live. Now you expect us to live it. Oh, that my steps might be steady, keeping to the course you set. Then I'd never have any regrets in comparing my life with your counsel. I thank you for speaking straight from your heart. I learn the pattern of your righteous ways. I'm going to do what you tell me to do. Don't ever walk off and leave me. How can a young person live a clean life? By carefully reading the map of your word. I'm single-minded in pursuit of you. Don't let me miss the road signs you've posted. I've banked your promises in the vault of my heart so I won't sin myself bankrupt. Be blessed, God. Train me in your ways of wise living. I'll transfer to my lips all the counsel that comes from your mouth. I delight far more in what you tell me about living than gathering a pile of riches. I ponder every morsel of wisdom from you. I attentively watch how you've done it. I relish everything you've told me of life. I won't forget a word of it. Then 33 to 40, God, teach me lessons for living so I can stay the course. Give me insight so I can do what you tell me. My whole life, one long, obedient response. Guide me down the road of your commandments. I love traveling this freeway. Give me an appetite for your words of wisdom and not for piling up loot. Divert my eyes from toys and trinkets. Invigorate me on the pilgrim way. Affirm your promises to me, promises made to all who fear you. Deflect the harsh words of my critics, but what you say is always so good. See how hungry I am for your counsel. Preserve my life through your righteous ways. jumping on to 97 to 112. Oh, how I love all you've revealed. I reverently ponder it all the day long. Your commands give me an edge on my enemies. They never become obsolete. I've even become smarter than my teachers since I've pondered and absorbed your counsel. I've become wiser than the wise old sages simply by doing what you tell me. I watch my step, avoiding the ditches and ruts of evil so I can spend all my time keeping your word. I never make detours from the route you laid out. You gave me such good directions. Your words are so choice, so tasty, I prefer them to the best home cooking. With your instruction, I understand life. That's why I hate false propaganda. By your words, I can see where I'm going. They throw a beam of light on my dark path. I've committed myself and I'll never turn back from living by your righteous order. Everything's fallen apart on me, God. Put me together again with your word. Adorn me with your finest sayings, God. Teach me your holy rules. My life is as close as my own hands, but I don't forget what you've revealed. The wicked do their best to throw me off track, but I don't swerve an inch from your course. I inherited your book on living. It's mine forever. What a gift. And how happy it makes me. I concentrate on doing exactly what you say. I always have and always will. I think, amen to that scripture. If we can take a leaf out of David's book, we can learn, really learn how to ascend in love for God and become the kind of people that love God with all their heart, all their soul, and all their might. So I would say, let's be inspired by David's lifelong chat sessions, worship sessions, and obsession with the Word of God. So today, I don't know about you, but having gone over and prepped for this, I'm inspired to love myself better from what I've read in Scripture. I'm inspired by people like Pastor Mick who've really grasped it and how to ascend in love for my neighbor, whoever they are and whatever they might have done. And I'm inspired by David to ascend in love for God and live a life that shows that action, that love as a verb. So let's just pray to finish this out. Lord, I just pray that we will absorb your word this morning. I pray that we will soak in what we've heard and really take it to heart so that we can love more, so we can grow in love and ascend in love for ourselves, respectfully and being compassionate to ourselves, for our neighbor, even in circumstances where we don't think it's physically even possible to love our neighbor. Help us to grow in love with your help and only with your help and what you can do in our hearts. And help us, Lord, to grow in love for you. Lord, for me, I want to say I'm sorry about the times when I've behaved in a way that makes you think I don't love you, because I want to do better. I want to be like David, absolutely mad for chatting to you, mad for being in your word all the time, not as a chore, but just because I love it and I love where it leads me and I love how it leads me. Lord, I pray for us all that we will learn to grow in love for you and from that everything else, because this is the greatest commandment. Thank you, Father. Amen.
We hope that you've been blessed by this message. If you would like to connect further with St. Mark's City, go to stmarks.ie. Have an incredible day. God bless you.